T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
All right, back here on Sports Talk, Christian Garrick. We welcome in now Glenn Gilbo, SEC columnist at Outkick.com, also covering the Saints. In your latest article, we'll get to some about the SEC baseball tournament, LSU and Tennessee, but your latest, the SEC spring meetings, Glenn, maybe the most out-of-the-box since 1990 when the league title game was added. Can you share some things that might be some other things that might be discussed that that'll make it out of the box? Is it getting rid of the East and West divisions?
Oh, yeah, I think so. Last week when the NCAA passed that rule that said you didn't need to be in divisions to have a championship game, you know, you can pick by percentage points and so forth. So that led to some discussion, and Greg Sankey knew that, the SEC commissioner knew that was coming along, and that's been on the table for some time to go divisionless, because that would really help fix the scheduling problem the SEC has had, or really a quirk, you know, that too many teams don't see other teams very often at all, you know, so they can get rid of those. Obviously, you won't have to play your division opponents each year, so then you can cut it down to just two permanent opponents instead of what it is now, which is like seven, you know, six from your division and one from the other. So that clogs up the schedule. So now you can really open it up and have a better rotation and still keep those cool rivalries that we all like.
Glenn, how do you know Greg Sankey's favorite band?
He's always quoting U2.
Is he?
He said that a few times at his introductory speeches he makes before the SEC media days in you know, every July. He quotes U2 or he likes Springsteen and Dylan too, but he's a big U2 guy. He's seen him live quite a few times.
Glenn,
as am I.
You're a big fan of U2. Me too. I am as well.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I haven't seen him live, but I love music.
Me either. Have not seen him live. Have not seen U2 live. Well, of course, we saw him at the Saints game when they came back for the Falcons game. Yeah, was that the Falcons game?
Yeah, 2006.
Yeah,
reopened
first game
the
back
dome.
In the dome. Yeah, that was awesome. To see that. Yeah, so that's the only time I've seen him live.
Glenn, we know about the expansion of the SEC in 2025 with Texas and Oklahoma coming into the Southeastern Conference. Do you think in the next 10 years you could see 20 teams in the SEC?
You know, I never thought they'd get to 16. So yeah, 10 years after that, yeah, I could see that for some of the same reasons, unless, you know, they feel like 16 is big enough and they get some of the other things they want. You know, Sankey is thinking about, you know, having possibly a, you know, again, there's about 40 things he's thinking of, okay? But one possible scenario is expanding the college football playoff and then having like a separate SEC 14 playoff, and the winner of that plays the winner of maybe a 14 Big 12 or mm-hmm. two Big 12 and two from some other conference. So, you know, that would be a lot of money for the SEC. So I don't know, when you start getting into these big numbers in the same league, I think it can kind of mess it up. 16 is a lot.
Yeah, but man, I think that there's an appetite for it.
I mean,
there's an appetite for it.
Yeah, but I mean, the SEC is is Prince money, you know, with 12 teams, it Prince money with 14 teams. You know, it's funny. Greg was upset that, you know, he wanted to expand the playoffs beyond four teams. And I guess because if you have an 8-team playoff, then you'd probably have four or five SEC teams in there, so he makes even more money. But, I mean, he is dominating the college football playoff with the 4-team format. So why would he want to expand it? You know, it's kind of funny. Whereas I can see where some of the other conferences who aren't making it every year, I could see why they would want it expanded.
Glenn, his quote was, "We have to put teams through campuses with greater frequency." Sankey said that. What does he mean by that?
Right. Well, he's just talking about playing at different schools more. Like LSU has only played at Missouri once, and that was because of weather. That game was supposed to be in Baton Rouge. And really, that's the history of the SEC. Peyton Manning's from New Orleans. He played 4 years at Tennessee, never played LSU. Herschel Walker played 3 years at Georgia. He never played Alabama or LSU. Bo Jackson never played LSU. The Alabama at Florida game last year was the first game, regular season game, between Alabama and Florida in Gainesville since 2011. You know, there's just two wide gaps between some of the teams that play because of the divisional play and the permanent opponents, but more so because of the divisional play. So that could be solved when you get rid of the two divisions.
Another one is Georgia's never played at Texas A&M, and Tennessee has also played the Aggies just twice in an SEC contest. So I get to thinking there, because that would be one complaint I would have, is you don't always get to see the teams in the SEC, all the teams in the SEC, at the frequency that you might want to.
Exactly. And the other end of that is you have South Carolina versus Texas A&M every year. Why? I mean, those are two of the farthest apart teams in the league. They have absolutely, you know, no history or tradition together, and they play every year. I think Ole Miss and Vanderbilt play every year. Mississippi State and Kentucky. You know, why? You know, those games could all be done away with on an annual basis. But yet, you know, you want to keep Bama-Auburn every year. I don't think you need LSU-Florida every year. I don't think you need Tennessee-Alabama every year. You know, I'd like to see, you know, maybe LSU-Texas. That hopefully that'll be one of the teams they play every year. And then maybe Oklahoma every 3 or 4 years, depending on how you do it. And, you know, I don't think LSU needs to play Ole Miss every year. Alabama would probably be a good permanent opponent to keep. So it would help LSU if they didn't have to play him. But, you know, that's always the most, you know, anticipated game for LSU fans.
Okay, I got a question for you. So your article at Outkick.com, I got it in front of me. Kramer did not wait is the closing line. Where did I miss the Kramer reference?
Okay, well, the Kramer reference is at the top of the story, because he was the one the last time you had such a wild SEC spring meeting.
Kramer. Okay. Yep. Okay.
I'm sorry. Yeah. That was in 1990 when he just dropped the bomb on everybody. Hey, we're opening up to new teams. And, you know, nobody saw that coming. Maybe some people in the office. He said, "We're opening it up to new teams, and we're going to have a two divisions." And then, you know, that's when Arkansas and South Carolina joined, and within 2 years they were in the league in '92, and that was when they had the first SEC championship game in '92. And that was like the first major college playoff game in a way. It wasn't for the national championship, but that kind of set the pace for what happened later. You know, the BCS, now the college football playoff. So that was the Kramer reference.
Glenn, you crank out some good work at Outkick.com. And you wrote about Tennessee, the SEC tournament, LSU, both Tennessee and LSU setting some records headed into the SEC tournament. I mean, that was a wild, wild game 3, 21-10 over Vanderbilt.
It was. And, Vanderbilt, you know, I mean, they were in the national championship series last year. That was a huge sweep for LSU. First 3-game sweep ever for LSU at Vanderbilt. And, you know, if LSU and Tennessee both win their first game Wednesday, they play Thursday night. And, you know, LSU didn't play Tennessee in this regular season, and they got swept by them in the Super last year. So
I'm taking the over. I'm taking the over. I'm taking the over.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, Tennessee's an awesome team, but it would be great for LSU just to see what they can do against them, and great preparation for a regional.
Yeah, listen, I think I think you would agree that Tennessee is the best team in the country, and there's not a lot of argument to the contrary. I just, they're good. They've had one heck of a year.
And they have a pitcher who throws 105 miles per hour.
Yeah, I don't even want to think about that. I don't even know what Glenn, think about what 105. Did you play baseball growing up?
I did. I played up till I was 15.
Okay.
But, you know, I can't wait to see Ben Joyce. I mean, 105 miles per hour. I plan on being at eye level when he comes in the game.
Yeah, it's going to be fun, that's for sure. So, overall, Jay Johnson's first year, 17-13 in the conference. Would you say that they maybe overachieved, or you think that this is about par for the course for them?
Well, you know, when you looked at the roster last year and going into this season, they looked like an Omaha team. But, you know, I think we forgot to look at the pitching. You know, we just looked at Dylan Cruz and Jacob Berry and Trey Morgan and all the offense. And they've really done this without pitching. So in a way, according to the preseason, they underachieved. But the way they played early in the season to finish 17-13, that's a solid year. And they were 13-17 last year in the SEC. So that's a four game improvement. And they're a four seed. So that's an excellent first year, I would say, for Jay. Now, I don't think he has the pitching to get to Omaha, but
no.
You know, sometimes a guy like Dylan Cruz can carry you, you know, and they got a couple of guys like that. Now, Jacob Berry is hurt right now, and he's got a thumb injury, and Trey Morgan is a little banged up, but they got some other injuries. But Dylan Cruz, you know, he could be the best player in the country right now, and if he gets hot at Hoover and in a regional, I mean, you know, there's no telling where they could go.
Glenn, it's like watching a big leaguer play in college baseball.
It is. He, you know, they've had some good ones like that before. You know, Todd Walker was like that. He looked like an MLB player when he was a freshman, and you know, he had a 30-game hitting streak. He was really consistent. You know, not quite as much power as Dylan Cruz, but Todd Walker had a lot of power too. But this guy reminds me of him.
Do you think that they are regional host sites, especially if they win a couple of games, get to 19, 20 wins in the SEC tournament?
You know, I looked at a couple of the predictions, and they weren't in there as a host. But I think if they could beat Tennessee, that would be their second win in this tournament. You know, I would think they'd have a good shot. But they could lose to Tennessee and still advance and win two or three games. You know, if they can get to the championship game on Saturday, I mean, get to the semifinal on Saturday, I think they might have a chance to host. But there's a lot of teams that are close right there, like Auburn, Arkansas, that have an argument for a host as well.
Hey, did you pick up on Vanderbilt, the pitching staff, and really even some of the defensive players were wearing, it wasn't a traditional quarterback wristband, but it was something that they would look at on their wrist, and it looked digital.
Huh. I did not notice that. Like the quarterback flips his wristband for a play.
Yeah, but it wasn't. It was digital. It looked more digital because it was smaller. and it looked like, okay, you remember the old.
Well, it didn't work.
No,
it didn't
I know.
Work. I mean,
but I'm fascinated by if it's technology though. But if it's technology, if it's advancing that direction, that's kind of neat. My let me try to describe it better. It looked like maybe a you know, the old hotspots that were kind of square looking, portable hotspots.
Right.
Yeah, kind of
like
a smaller version of that.
Maybe just a quick, you know, mechanism to look at stats of the hitter you're about to face. Maybe, you know, so you don't have to try to remember what
They had the cards in their pocket. I saw them pulling out the scouting report on the cards in their back pocket.
While on the mound.
Yeah.
While on the mound.
Well,
wow.
They would step off. But I mean, No. Hold on. I saw Vanderbilt defensive players wearing the same wristband, but also reaching into their pocket to look at where to play a certain player.
Wow, huh? Yeah, well, that's interesting, and you know, you hope that doesn't delay the game more, but they're probably just taking advantage of the time you have between pitches, because, you know, they're supposed to enforce that, and they really don't. You know, there's been a few times where somebody gets called for that, but yeah, so they're taking advantage of that time gap. Yeah, it's amazing.
Glenn, I'm a nerd. I just noticed little things like that, and I'm curious if electronics like that have now made their way into baseball, in particular, a sport that's known for being way outdated.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's. You know, I remember 10 years ago, you didn't hear about all this, you know, the speed that the ball left the park, you know, the bat speed and how fast the pitch was going. You used to not hear about that at all, you know, and that's
exit
something
velocity,
exit velocity, you hear a lot of that. You know, Skip didn't have when Skip Bourbon was the coach, he didn't have the computer, but he had a lot of that in his head. And in notebook fashion, I think if he was, you know, if he'd have been born later and was still coaching, I think he'd take advantage of that technology as well, because he was always kind of on the cusp of that. But, yeah, you're going to – I mean, and Jay Johnson's a young coach, you know, so you know he's in tune to that.
Glenn Gilbo, Outkick.com, SEC and Saints columnist. Glenn, always a pleasure, man. Thanks, and great insight as always.
All right, man. Y'all keep up with Outkick.com. I'll be in Hoover all week and then going to Destin from there for the spring meeting. So it's going to be a busy couple of weeks at Outkick.
We'll talk to you again soon, I'm sure.
From the beach. I'll be on the beach.
There you go, Glenn. Thank you, man.
All right, bud.
All right, Glenn Gilbo, SEC columnist, Saints columnist at Outkick.com. This is Sports Talk here on WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.